Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses,
you apparently didn't put one of the new cover sheets on your TPS report,
and your team may be in last place, we can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You're going to leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwynn and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
I'm kind of a hermit. I like to be in the house all day long if possible, but a lot of times the wifey doesn't allow it.
And Chris Ello.
Keep all your arms and legs away from my mouth when Sonic arrives. Wow, that was the perfect clip.
Brother.
Let's go! Gwynn and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, where'd my dinger go?
We finally got him.
He got himself.
He got himself, right.
Where'd my dinger go?
Did my dinger go?
Oh, man.
Oh, Scraby.
Scrabalingus is at his finest right there.
You are the man.
All right, 404 on the Dow. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Gwynn and Chris coming at you. Our next guest, before we get to our next guest, excuse me, coming up in the next 30 minutes, listen for your name to be called and call us back at 833-288-0973 to win a family four-pack of tickets to join us for the 97.3 The Fan Takeover Night at the SeaWorld Celebration presented by Sprint. Friday, December 13th, experience over 1 million lights and the all-new shows and attractions like the Sesame Street Christmas Village, the Winter Wonderland on Ice Show, and the Cirque Christmas Show. And be entered to win our grand prize at a Vegas getaway that includes two tickets to the Mob Museum with the Underground Speakeasy Experience, dinner for two at Las Vegas Oscar Steakhouse, and two-night stay at the iconic Plaza Hotel and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Make sure you sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter.
Woo! Well done, sir. That was well done. They got to make those promos longer.
Well, they
just do.
Well, they say they're going to give us less liners, but they're going to put everything
they're
in
just
the
putting
one.
It all
less
in
liners
there.
Is going to be a half an hour. And we now, instead of our guest, thank you very much for coming on. We need to take a break because that took the whole show.
Speaking of guests, talk some NFL with us. A frequent guest of ours, Greg Camarillo, joins us here on Gwynn and Chris. Greg, how you doing today, brother?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're great, Greg.
We're doing fantastic. Let's get right into this NFL past week. What'd you think of Jimmy G's performance last night? I mean, we've been talking about it a little bit on our show today. Is that the guy you think he is, or was that just a bad night?
I'm a Jimmy G believer. Mm. And, you know, I think people are too quick to jump down his throat, and it's you got to look at how many games he's played and the level that he's playing at. He sat on the bench forever in New England, but showed up when he needed to. And then he got hurt last year, so he didn't play all that much. So he's still climbing towards his potential. And what I have seen so far, I like a lot. And then, you know, primetime game last night, everything's on the line. It's not who's going to win the division, but it's setting it up for who's going to win the division. And in overtime, he leads the drive that should have led to a game-winning field goal. And, you know, if they don't have a former Chargers kicker kicking that and they win,
the
conversation is going to be Jimmy G won the game for him.
Well, can I have a little follow-up, though? He did throw three picks in that same drive that didn't get caught. I mean, does that play into any of it? What up? Greg, you there?
We lose him? Nah, we'll get him back.
Man, he was about to give us some jewels right there.
He had some good ones.
I did. While we're trying to get him back, I have to get this off my chest.
Go ahead.
The kicker for the 49ers was a rookie, right? It was his first game ever right off the bench. Booger and Joe Tessitore.
It was not.
Saying,
he kicked for the Chargers earlier this year.
No, but this year he's been
signed off the street. Yeah, basically. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So Booger and Joe Tessitore kept saying that Kyle Shanahan kept telling them he's going to ignore him and make him do his job. I think that's the wrong move. You bring in a new guy, you gotta make him feel comfortable, right? The guy was scared. The guy was nervous.
Was he? He just drilled a kick to get
Greg's
him into.
Back.
Greg, you back?
I'm back.
All right.
I agree.
What, we didn't get to hear your answer to that question, if you even heard the question.
I got a little turnover right there, and it was time to adjust. Well done adjusting to the era, though, gentlemen. That was outstanding.
Sudden change.
We're used to it,
as they say.
Yeah.
But would you? My question to you was, in that same drive, he threw at least two balls that should have been picked off, and they just straight up dropped them.
One was hideous. Yeah, and it's amazing how quickly the narrative changes. And if that kicker makes that kick, then Russell Wilson blew the game with interception.
No, that's
if
true.
The Seahawks linebacker makes that pick, then Jimmy G blew the game. And, you know, Jimmy G's got some learning to do, but I do like the fact that he was making some risky throws there with the game on the line. It's the time you could play for a tie, but he was going for it, and I like what I see for Stone.
Yeah, I thought he had a poor game last night, and it's hard for me to totally judge him because I haven't seen any of his other 9 games. I've just seen that one, so I don't want to rate him. It's unfair to rate him on one game, and I'm sure, Greg, you can speak to the fact of how tough it must be for any quarterback to go into the game without George Kittle, favorite kind of security blanket receiver, and then lose Emmanuel Sanders in the first quarter. That probably had an effect on the way he played as well.
Yeah, so we're watching that last drive, and I work at USD. I'm in the athletic department, and we've got number 82, Ross Dwelly, who's an undrafted tight end out of USD, playing in the game. And Jimmy G was looking for him in the final drive, and I love that fact for Ross Dwelly because he's an awesome guy. But if you're an NFL team, you're targeting an undrafted guy out of USD when the game's on the line, clearly you've gone down the depth chart. And Jimmy G's making do with what's there. And I'm a believer in him. I think when he has all his weapons, it's going to be just fine. And sometimes it's good to lose. You're 8-1. You need a little reality check, a little motivation for the next week. So, you know, they can handle that loss.
Greg, we'd be remiss because we watched Russell Wilson and his MVP performance. And listen, the 49ers did as good a job as you could for 3.5 quarters. They kind of kept him contained. And then towards the end, he started doing Russell Wilson things. But in the other conference, there's this guy, Lamar Jackson. I don't know if you've heard of him or not, but
this guy is
off the chain. What have you seen from him this year that has made him a completely different quarterback than he was in his rookie season?
Yeah, so first of all, I love what he's doing. Yeah. Huge fan of the fact that he's proving everyone wrong. They wanted to label him as an athletic quarterback that couldn't play quarterback. And the fact that he is just dominating at quarterback is outstanding. I love that. And what it is, we knew he could run. No question about that. He did it all through college. The improvement from year one to year two on his throwing of the ball, his deep balls, being able to throw it across the middle, it's just his touch and his accuracy. And that, I mean, clearly he paid attention to that from year one to year two and has vastly improved. And you know, there's no limit for this guy because you can't prepare for what he's going to bring you. You can't stop everything. You could stop his passing, but then you're not going to stop his running. If you try to limit his running, then he's going to beat you passing. And then they have RPOs. They have the old school triple option running. Yeah. And you literally can't practice for everything that he's putting out there. And then, you know, teams prepare for a guy by mimicking him on scout teams. So, you know, say they play Phillip Rivers, you're going to tell your backup quarterback to stay in the pocket, step up in the pocket, throw the ball deep. There's no one that can pretend to be Lamar Jackson. There's no human being on your team that can run like him and throw like him and run option like him. So there's just no preparing for his speed and his capabilities. And it's exciting to watch him improve and then just dominate this league. It's awesome.
Greg Camarillo, always love having him on the program. I know you got short time today, Greg. Real quick before we let you go, you mentioned Phillip Rivers, and it's going back to last Thursday, but that was one of his poor games. And I'm just curious how you look at – I mean, we know he's going to probably bounce back. He's got a big game coming up against Kansas City. – But how does a quarterback of his ilk have a bad game? What all has to happen for Phillip Rivers to look kind of as bad as he did last week against the Raiders?
Yeah, it was rough. And like Tony mentioned, the interceptions that ended up not counting, Phillip threw five completed passes to the Raiders. Three of them only counted.
Right.
But, you know, it's their O-line is just bad. And so he has no time. And what we've seen from Phillip when he has no time is he tries to make up for it, which leads to these interceptions. And I'm not granting him an excuse like, you know, he's throwing interceptions because his team sucks. But he is not a good fit for what the Chargers have now. And I think this might be the end of the run for Phillip as a Charger because he is not a mobile quarterback. He is not going to move outside of that pocket. And they have an O-line where the only way to survive is to move out of that pocket. And I don't see them rebuilding an O-line in 1 year. And Phillip has so few years left that he needs to be somewhere where he can sit back in the pocket and pick people apart because that's what he does. That's what he does incredibly well. But you know he can't run, and this O-line can't block. And so it's just a terrible situation. And going into Mexico this week, playing Kansas City, if they can't win this game, it's pretty much a wrap for the Chargers.
Greg, as always, man, we appreciate your time, man. We'll catch up with you at a two weeks from today.
Thanks, Greg.
Cool. Appreciate it, fellas.
Always good catching up with Greg Camarillo. I didn't know that the kid for the 49ers was a USD kid last night. That's great.
I did not either. We're going to step away, pay some bills when we come back. We discussed it earlier. We're going to discuss it some more. Major League Baseball might have a problem on their hands. One of the most successful teams in the last 3 years is being accused of straight-up cheating. And it's coming from one of their old guys, one of the guys that was on the roster. We're going to talk about it more when we come back.
This is breaking news from 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, yes, it is that time of the week where we have this following breaking news. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Breaking news powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by the midsize Metris from Mercedes-Benz. And, well, we have a new number one team in the land, college football.
Do we?
We do. Ohio State beat Maryland by like 90 points last week. And they fall from number one to number two in the nation because LSU beat Alabama on the road. And that takes precedence in the minds of the college football playoff committee. So LSU is back to number one now. Number two is Ohio State. Clemson, which I thought was absurd that they had been left out of the top four the first time around, they're back in the hunt at number three. And Georgia gets number four.
Are you looking at our boss right now outside the window? He's flexing because he's a Georgia alum. So.
Yeah, but him
too bad he can't
flex
on the Hawks like that.
Him flexing.
Ooh.
Or the Falcons.
Or the Falcons.
Ooh. Or the Braves.
Or the Braves.
Or can't. The Flames.
Oh, he's hurting. Look at him. He's hurting.
He's melting.
Yeah, our boss is a big Atlanta fan, Georgia fan. Georgia gets the nod over Alabama. I got to be honest with you. I know Alabama just lost, so maybe it's fresh, but Alabama's got one loss to LSU. Georgia's got one loss to South Carolina.
Yes.
That was an ugly loss. I mean, I honestly, and you know how I love Alabama, I would still put Alabama number four right now ahead of Georgia. And I think that that's how it'll turn out. No, I do.
Are you saying that just because our boss is listening?
No. Is he okay? He just fell down to the ground. I'm sorry about that, Adam.
I agree with you.
I'm just giving you the opinion here.
I think
you
got to
take Georgia plays Auburn this week, so Georgia needs to really, you know, put a pasting on Auburn because Alabama's going to play Auburn a little later in the season, and you know when they put this whole playoff thing together, they're going to take everything into consideration. So where they stand right now doesn't necessarily mean where they're finished. I mean, like as I'm saying. Georgia, because they're ahead of Alabama right now, I don't think that they automatically get number four if they win out. I still think Alabama could jump past them.
I mean, yeah, certainly.
So,
I mean,
we'll see, though.
If they remain one loss,
mm-hmm.
I think Alabama will eventually jump.
I do too.
Because their loss will be to LSU.
Right. You lost to the number one team.
Georgia decided to lay an egg when they faced
South Carolina. South Carolina lost to Appalachian State this week at home. I mean, that's got to come into play.
That's what you're rooting for, Adam.
So, Adam,
lose to Appalachian State and SEC.
You got the worst spot in all of college football. You may be number four today, but when it's all said and done, you're going to be number five.
Outside looking in.
Just like he is right now. On the outside looking in to our studio. And he's very upset. Because look at him. Look at it this way. Because I say that Georgia should be number five.
Oh, that
does not make it happen.
That bodes well for you, actually.
Exactly. That does not necessarily make it happen.
I received a text from him.
Oh, okay. What did he say?
He said, UGA has the SEC championship game. Bama won't.
Oh, so if UGA beats LSU, yes, that might hurt them, though. Because
LSU is at the number one spot.
Because LSU is at the number one spot, so LSU is going to blast Georgia in the SEC championship game. That's going to totally drop them out of the running.
Then they'll have no shot.
They will have no shot. We'll see how it all turns out. It almost doesn't seem like a playoff without Alabama in there, but it's okay with me if they're left out 1 year. You know what I mean? I've had enough of them. They could leave Clemson out 1 year. I'd be fine.
At this point, we know they're a pretty good program.
Yeah, Alabama's good. Let's try a play. How about Minnesota? Put Minnesota in there.
I can see people's
heads. Well, don't say Minnesota. They just beat Penn State. They're undefeated. If they beat Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, would you not have to put them in there?
Minnesota.
The Golden Gophers?
The Golden Gophers
going
are
for
like,
it all.
They're like the New Mexico State of the Mountain West. Or Big Ten, I'm sorry.
Well, being as New Mexico State's not in the Mountain West, I don't know what you're talking about.
I thought they were.
No, New Mexico's in the Mountain West.
Okay, well, New Mexico then. Minnesota is like New Mexico.
Are you trying to sound like Francis McDormand in Fargo right now?
Minnesota.
Yeah, you're not doing a very good job. All right, what was the rest of the rankings, by the way, Scraby? Do we have them, or do we just have the top four?
I'm just curious. I deleted them.
Oh, good. All right,
Minnesota was eight.
Eight?
That's a great time to delete it.
Yeah, while we're talking about it.
yes.
Hey, the guys are talking about this right now. I think I'll delete.
I am looking, and it's not looking good for me. It's definitely number seven is Utah. Number eight is Minnesota. Number nine is Penn State. Number 10 is Oklahoma.
But you can't find five or six.
Did you just skip over five?
We've got one, two, three, four, seven, eight, nine, ten.
I have no idea why this is like being so.
What
weird.
Numerical system are you using, Scraby?
LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, Alabama, Oregon.
Oregon's the other one.
Utah, Minnesota, Penn State, OU, Florida, Auburn, Baylor, Wisconsin, and Michigan.
All right.
Oregon's
got a chance to make it, but that's a weak chance because the Pac-12 just is so weak. That's the problem. Who's Oregon going to beat that's going to move them up past an Alabama or a Georgia? That's the problem Oregon has.
Yeah, good point.
I don't know who's left for them to beat. The rest of the conference is very poor this year. I always like when the Pac-12 gets in these things, but they don't fare very well. I mean, Oregon can play Utah in the championship game, and that would be a nice win.
Right
but
now,
I don't know that's
going to
be enough to get past
right
Alabama.
Right now, I think SC is the team that's ahead on that side of the.
No, Utah's ahead of SC.
In conference play?
SC's lost two in a row. They're like three games now in conference, haven't they?
No.
No?
No.
All right, now I have to look this up. I could ask Scraby to look it up, but he would probably delete it.
We would be waiting until the end of the show
probably delete
to get that.
No, the Pac-12 right now on that side, Utah's 5-1, and USC's 5-2. So Utah's got the edge, even though USC beat Utah.
Yeah, so if they can't lose another one.
Right. But Utah's number seven in the nation in the poll. USC's not even in the poll.
So actually, Oregon is praying that they can win the rest of their games.
And praying Utah wins the rest of theirs.
Because that would give them enough.
That would give them a big win.
Utah has a tiebreaker over USC because.
No, they don't. USC has the tiebreaker over Utah because USC beat Utah.
I'm looking at the wrong thing.
Why, of course you are. Of course you are. Would you have it any other way?
It's great.
Oh, where'd my dinger go?
It is so funny, man. He does it to himself every time. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong thing. It's like, yes.
We know.
We're aware.
Nice job, Scrape.
All right, so there's your breaking news on the college football playoff.
I wish I never would have broken that news.
Where it goes from here. By the way, the Big 12 is looking like they're going to really get left out no matter what happens, because the highest-ranked team they have there is Oklahoma at 10.
Yeah.
So that's a long way to go.
Not so good.
Minnesota! Come on, Gophers. Give me some fresh blood carrying around a national championship trophy. That'd be cool.
No one wants to see Minnesota in the championship game.
I got to admit.
Sorry. You wouldn't watch? Like, if Minnesota made it, you'd say, no, I'm not watching?
Kind of the last team I really want to see.
Really?
It's like Maryland of Baltimore County making it. No one cared.
After they beat, you're kind of right about that. After they beat Virginia, it was like you didn't really want them to win anymore.
No, it's like, okay, it was a cool story.
Get them out of the
tournament. You're going to mess up everybody's bracket if you keep winning.
They already did.
Yeah, no kid, right?
We weren't supposed to talk about Astros, but we're going to talk about that a lot.
Yeah, we got some more Astro time coming up a little bit later in the program. We will get to them. We are San Diego's number one sports station. We are 97.3 The Fan. We have coming up shortly Big Five, but before that, we have a winner. A winner in our biggest fan contest, and that winner today is Fernando Rivas. You are our biggest fan. Fernando!
Congratulations, Fernando.
ABBA did a song about you, Fernando. You know how I know that?
Oh.
Because every time Fernando Tatis hits a home run, they play it at Petco Park. Haven't you ever heard that?
No, I tend to tune out the music when I'm watching the game
they
sometimes.
Do that little Fernando
I'm
song.
I'm only looking at shoes and play when I'm at watching the...
I was going to be like, Tony's too focused on the game, but no, he's looking at
he's
shoes.
He's too close.
Shoes, shoes in the game.
Fernando, you have 10 minutes to call us back, 833-288-0973. You have won all kinds of stuff, Fernando. I could keep it rolling, but it's the Fan Takeover Night at SeaWorld's Christmas Celebration presented by Sprint. Also entered to win our grand prize, the Vegas Getaway, Mob Museum, Underground Speakeasy Experience, dinner at Oscar Steakhouse, two-night stay, Plaza Hotel and Casino. It goes on and on. Fernando, please pick up your phone and give us a call within the next 10 minutes and get it all, 833-288-0973. And if you're not registered for our Biggest Fan Contest, get registered at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan.
Boom.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
.436 Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. We got a full house now. Matt Scravey, Thomas Andrews. As we get ready for the Big Five.
And how dare another show call him Odd Thomas?
Who's calling him Odd Thomas?
Weren't you filling in with the coach for a couple of days last week?
Did Coach steal your name?
Called you Odd Thomas. I wasn't happy with that.
He did.
Yeah. I felt like you're our Odd Thomas, and that's it.
Nobody else.
I subbed in on the morning, too, and they asked where it came from, and Ben said, that sounds like an Ello nickname. And I said, it was an Ello nickname.
Yeah. And now, so they calling you Odd Thomas, too?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, his Twitter handle is at OddThomas71.
Oh, he's calling himself Odd Thomas, then.
I was trying to take on the role.
All right. Well, if you're
you're not taking on any role. You are.
You're trying to take on the role.
Really, if Scraby somehow fit, Odd Scraby would be better. It just doesn't fit. Nobody wrote a best-selling novel called Odd Scraby.
Wow.
He's really good at that, by the way. Thomas' timing is really good.
Better than mine,
for sure. Man. All right, let's go to some Big Five stuff.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls of fire.
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Well, we have a pretty good Big Five today, and if you ever have any topics for the Big Five, you can find me on Twitter, at Matt Scraby, M-A-T-T-S-K-R-A-B, as in boy, Y. Thomas, let's get into it.
Number five.
Another most swag you ever had going into a Big Five right there.
Really?
Like that.
Okay, I'm going to try to keep it up, man. Try to keep it up,
try to keep it up, man.
Wow. Going from Odd Thomas to Odd Thomas's favorite football player, Tom Brady. And the Patriots.
Odd Thomas Brady.
Because they are coming off their bye week and will play the Eagles, who are also coming off their bye week. A good old rematch of Super Bowl 52 when the Eagles stunned the Patriots. And Tom Brady was on sister station WEEI for his weekly interview with the Greg Hill Show. And here is what he said about the upcoming game.
You assume I'm over it.
Yeah. This is Tom Brady. You think
never,
he forgets this?
Never going to be
on
over
now. That's a lot of mental scar tissue from that year. So that was a tough game. But no, in a lot of ways, I think we learned from that year, and we came back stronger the next year, and we won the Super Bowl in 18. So I think everything is a matter of perspective, and I think when you play in that game and you play great teams, you're not going to win them all. This is not, the Harlem Globetrotters versus the Washington Generals. This is all about, tough competition against the best teams, and they deserved it that year.
Thank you to WEEI for that. So Tom Brady said he's not over the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and I don't doubt that he's not over the Super Bowl, because that would be a hard thing to get over. But my question to you guys, and Tony, you're up first, how long can you go before it's not a revenge game anymore?
It's not a revenge game. I mean, this football is a football player, so, they have a tendency to let chips last a lot longer than most athletes, I feel like. That's probably because they don't play as many games as some of the other sports, so you get a shot at a team 1 year, you might not see them for like another 2 years before you get another shot. I believe Tom. I mean, listen, you don't become the GOAT by letting things go.
Every loss. Absolutely. That's what drives you.
It reminds me a lot of Michael. It reminds me a lot of Kobe. Like, people of that ilk, they don't forget anything, and they have a unbelievable way of using it as a positive for themselves, and Tom Brady's no different.
Chris?
I agree with Tony, and then I'm going to go a step past it, because I think even fans don't forget. I'll be honest with you. When I was a little kid, here we go, play your song.
If I could turn.
Whatever. He always has to do this, so I'll just let it get it out of the way.
It's on the right side, Thomas.
Thomas?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to travel through time. I bid you adieu.
He didn't want to use that.
That makes me laugh.
Well, he couldn't find the other one.
So. Well, I am going to travel through time, because in Super Bowl VI, the Dallas Cowboys crushed the Miami Dolphins. And the Dolphins came back and won a couple Super Bowls after that and then haven't been heard from since. But my point is, to this day, when the Dolphins get a game against the Cowboys, and they played them this year and had no chance, but I always think back to Super Bowl VI. Like, to me, that's still a revenge game, even though none of the players are the same. Coaches, uniforms, nothing. It's still, as even a fan, that sticks in my mind a little bit, that the Cowboys crushed us in a Super Bowl. Same for the 49ers, who crushed the Dolphins in a Super Bowl 1 year. I always get a little more, as a fan, geeked up for that game, and I think I'm not the only one.
Yeah. For me, it's the Seahawks, and I can't stand the Ravens, and that was even before they beat the 49ers in the Super Bowl. But that really bothers me.
I feel it. I think it's a true thing. I do.
I still don't like the Yankees because of the Padres in
98.
So we might be onto something here. The fans may remember the revenge a lot longer 100%. Than the players.
I definitely
remember.
Think that's true.
Yeah.
Like, but I'll never like the Celtics. I can't stand the Yankees, even though I got friends that are on that team.
Right.
I can't do it.
All right, let's go to number four.
There's number four.
By the way, there's no team in the NBA that I don't like because the Bulls never lost a finals. Okay.
Good for you.
But look at him now.
I bid you adieu. I bid you adieu before we continue. Yes, I want to move on from the Bulls subject.
We have been saying it for months and months now. The motto for the Dolphins coming into the year was, quote unquote, tank for Tua, yeah. Which was about Alabama's... Yes. Which was about Alabama's quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. Well, after Alabama lost, some experts have adjusted their rankings and they do not think Tua will be the first overall pick in the draft. LSU's Joe Burrow put himself in the mix, and Ohio State's defensive end Chase Young is also in the mix for the top pick in the draft.
Of course, he is, since he's suspended. That seemed to increase his stock.
Usually the guys that are the best are the ones that
cheat the most.
Sure. I'm not going to call Chase Young a cheater, but yes. Okay. You don't get money if you're the kicker. Let's just put it that way. Chris, do you think Tua has played his way out of the number one pick this coming draft? And actually, since you're a Dolphins fan, do you want to see your team draft Tua?
I think the Dolphins definitely have shown this year they need a quarterback. So the guy I'd be most interested in is probably Tua. The Ohio State guy is pretty amazing, too. Justin Fields. The poor play of the other Ohio State quarterback, what's his name? The guy starting for the Redskins now.
Why am I blanking on his name?
Dwayne Haskins Jr.
Yeah, Dwayne Haskins Jr. That makes me worry a little bit about Justin Fields. I don't know that Burrow from LSU passed Tua just because LSU beat Alabama the other day. I think Tua is playing hurt right now. So I think there's all those things you have to consider. But the number one thing you have to consider is you shouldn't be asking me about the number one pick because the Dolphins aren't going to have it anymore.
That's true.
I mean, they're winning too many games.
All right, well, then is Tua the number one pick in the draft?
I don't like to ease out of a question this way, but it honestly depends on who's picking. I mean, really it does. If a team needs a quarterback, to me, he'd be the guy. Yes. There you go.
Tony?
Was that answer frustrating you?
It was.
That's a quality answer.
Because he knows what I'm trying to get out of him over here.
What are you trying to get? That I don't think Tua is?
No. I'm trying to get a yes or no answer. Is he the number one pick?
I just gave you a yes. If a team needs a quarterback, yes. But if a team already has a quarterback that they're staying with, that would be silly to draft him.
Tony just hit me with something.
I don't know. For some reason, I'm not sold on Tua.
You've fallen out of favor with him.
I'm not sold on him. I mean, I feel like he throws to open wide receivers like all the time.
Yeah,
like,
it's so hard to judge Alabama guys.
It is.
Like
it
Josh
really
Jacobs,
is.
Who knew whether he'd be really good or would he be Kenyon Drake? It's so tough to tell.
Like we all felt the way about Deshaun Watson because we watched him play against Alabama's defense.
Right.
Like it was easy to kind of figure out, okay, you're playing against basically an NFL defense right now, and you're going to look pretty good. For whatever reason, Tua has not given me that feeling. So I'm indifferent. I don't think he's the number one pick. I think because the quarterbacks, there's so many of them this year that are at the elite level. As Chris said, any one of the four or five guys could go with that first pick, depending on the team that gets him and what quarterback they like the most. But if you were to pin me down, I'd say the kid from LSU is the number one pick.
How about Jalen Hurts? Has Jalen Hurts moved past Tua in the ranking system? Which is interesting because, of course, he left Alabama because Tua beat him out.
There's a couple things that keep popping up when it comes to Jalen Hurts because I like him, but it just seems like nobody else is either. They're just overlooking them.
No one's talking about.
There's people who are critical of them. You know, you don't hear any of the criticisms of the other guys we're talking about. You only hear it about Jalen Hurts. So that kind of scares me a little bit.
Ben Lieber was on our show weeks ago.
Ben Lieber was
one
of them.
And he was the one who called the Oklahoma Texas game, and he said he did not think that Jalen Hurts was very good. Well, he wasn't Heisman this year.
I remember that.
All right, good stuff, guys.
Number three.
Oh, don't say good stuff. You didn't think it was good stuff.
Well,
say
from you.
It was
from
lousy.
You. From you. Colts kicker and NFL legend Adam Vinatieri has not been very good this season, and the Colts are bringing in some guys to try out. They are not making any moves as of yet, but they want to have their options open in case they don't, or they do want to make a change. which does not bode well for the future Hall of Fame kicker. He's missed 5 field goals and 6 point after attempts this season. He shanked a 43-yard attempt at the end of Colts Week 9 loss in Pittsburgh. His missed extra point on Sunday contributed to the Colts' home loss to the Dolphins. Tony, would you send the Hall of Famer packing?
Oh, man, I don't ever want to be in a position to fire somebody, so I'm glad I don't have to make this decision. But yeah, man, considering where the Colts are this year, having a chance to get into the playoffs.
5-4.
Kickers, and their margin of victory, I think, is like 4-point-something points.
You can't miss in the NFL anymore.
The games are just too close that they're playing. They don't have like this explosive offense where they can just put up a ton of points. The games are going to be relatively close, which means the kicks are going to matter. Kickers matter. So, from that standpoint,
kickers are so happy to hear
that. I would be doing what the Colts are doing, which is looking at my options just in case I got to go that route.
I love kickers. Yeah, see, I always stick up for them.
One of the things the NFL did right, I think, when they changed the PAT was perfect, because the PAT was meaningless before.
It's not automatic anymore.
Not automatic. Chris, what do you think? Do you think you would send him back?
I do. I think it's time for Vinatieri to hang him up. But it doesn't change his Hall of Fame status. Nothing will. I mean, he could miss 20 more in a row. I mean,
he's the leading scorer in the NFL.
He's one of the best kickers of all time, but he's not right now one of the best 30 kickers. You know, I think that's fair to say. And he's cost them the last 2 games. You can't have that at the NFL level. It's just as simple as that. So I'd have to move on.
Number 2.
We're going to talk a little hockey news, everyone.
Yay!
Well, not actually hockey on the ice, but a controversy that got a legendary hockey broadcaster fired for comments he made. Cherry, iconic Canadian hockey commentator, has been fired by Sportsnet for his on-air remarks on Saturday, alleging that the country's immigrants don't properly honor fallen soldiers. Here is what he said on Saturday.
You know, I was talking to a veteran. I said, I'm not going to run the poppy thing anymore, because what's the sense? I live in Mississauga. Nobody wears, very few people wear a poppy. Downtown Toronto, forget it, downtown Toronto. Nobody wears a poppy. And I'm not going to. He says, wait a minute. How about running it for the people that buy them? Now, you go to the small cities, and the roads on roads. You people love, they come here, whatever it is, you love our way of life, you love our milk and honey, at least you could pay a couple of bucks for poppies or something like that. These guys pay for your way of life that you enjoy in Canada. These guys paid the biggest price.
That was Don Cherry on Sportsnet on Saturday, and the poppy pins he's referring to are sold by veteran groups and are worn to symbolically honor those who serve. Cherry, he didn't back off his comments and told the Toronto Sun after he was fired, quote, I know what I said, and I meant it. Everybody in Canada should wear a poppy to honor our fallen soldiers. To keep my job, I cannot be turned into a tamed robot, end quote. And now the backlash has begun, and there's been petitions and stuff trying to get him his job back because people think Sportsnet overreacted. Chris, did he do anything wrong?
Nope. He's free speech. Don Cherry has said crazier things than this by a long shot, and I don't have them in front of me, but he's been a controversial, polarizing figure in Canadian broadcasting, and he was a controversial, polarizing figure as the head coach of the Boston Bruins way back when. If you have Don Cherry and you've hired him to be your Hockey Night in Canada guy, which is like the biggest post you can possibly have in Canada, probably, you got to expect that he's going to say some things that are going to rub some people the wrong way. I think they overreacted. Don Cherry is a legend in that town. It's not surprising. Do you remember when, how many announcers, Tony, have been begged by the city that they broadcast in to come back? Like Ernie Harwell. I mean, there's other guys, you know, but the teams have moved on from them, and the fans said, no, we've got to have them back. They're the voice of our team.
I think there's a guy that...
Don Cherry is honestly that, to me, in hockey in Canada. So I don't know. I mean, I do know. He
didn't do anything wrong.
I don't think so.
Tony, excuse me, I'm getting choked up.
They may have overreacted, but you people is an absolutely... a no-no in 2019.
That's true.
Right. Because now you're starting to, he could have just said, we need people's
support.
Support. period. And that had identified a certain section of people. Now, he didn't get specific, which is why I think they probably overreacted a little bit. But once you start going down the you people line.
Yeah, you're right.
It gets dicey for companies, especially if you're in a place where there are. And I assume he's talking about the people who immigrate from different countries that have come over
into Canada.
Into
yes.
Canada. I assume right. that's what he's talking about.
I guess if you, yeah, if you were to do it here, it would be a big deal.
100%
it'd be a huge deal.
I'm actually, you know, when I first saw this story, I was surprised because obviously I'm not from Canada. I don't know what.
Eh?
Eh? My mother-in-law's from Canada. But I was surprised that the reaction was what it was in Canada. Considering who it was, because as Chris said, he's been a fixture in Canada and in hockey forever. So
he's at least as big in Canada as John Madden was when he was in his heyday broadcasting football here in the United States. And wow. I know Madden said some, you know, he said some crazy off the wall things too. I just think that you should almost expect it from Don Cherry and consider the source. And if you know, they love him there, so this is a tough decision to make.
Number one.
New York Giants running back Saquon Barkley isn't 100%, and the talk has begun in the media about whether or not to shut him down, even though the team, they're 2-8. Barkley had an x-ray on his shoulder after Sunday's 34-27 loss to the Jets, and the shoulder is expected to be fine, but he's also trying to get back to 100% from the high ankle sprain that forced him to miss three games last month. He's averaging just 2.6 yards per carry in the four games since coming back after averaging 6.4 yards over the first 3 weeks of the season when he was healthy. Here he is talking about being confident in himself.
I do feel like myself. I mean, I would love to be going for 100 yards every game. I would love to be doing the things I was doing last year. Trust me, I don't like the fact that I was able to have 1 yard against a great team. Respect to them. But to say that I'm not healthy or this and that and third, those are just excuses. Everyone's banged up. Everyone's going through something. And I'm not going to let that be an excuse of why I'm not having a successful season.
Yeah, that is, he did not misspeak. He had 1 yard against the Jets.
Well, I think he caught himself. I think he wanted to say against a terrible team.
Yes, against a good team.
Yeah, he had to say no.
There.
He said a great defense. That's right. So which, I think he caught himself.
The one that just got beat by the Dolphins.
Exactly.
The
so I think he caught himself. This is what you guys couldn't see Chris's face right there. Go ahead.
Well, he just said he's not going to shut it down because we're strapped for time, Tony. Should the Giants consider shutting him down?
No, stop pacifying these guys. He's for the second year in the league. He doesn't need rest. Let him play. Let him develop. Period.
Semicolon. Load management is the way of the future. Give the guy a break. You want to keep him around. I don't know. The bottom line to the whole Saquon Barkley season is that Odd Thomas made the right decision in our fantasy league.
He did.
He took Christian McCaffrey with the first overall pick, and we all gave him heat for it. So it just goes to show you, from year to year, it changes that quick in the NFL. And you know what? Next year, Christian McCaffrey might be a bad pick, and Saquon Barkley may be a good pick again next year. You never know.
Five teams in our fantasy league stuck at 6-4, all fighting. Well, except for Chris, sorry.
Chris still hasn't won.
My division is 6-4, 6-4, 6-4, 6-4, 0-10.
It's pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing.
We're stepping away. The show resets at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. Jimmy G and his Niners fall to the Seahawks. Is Jimmy G the weak link of the Niners?
What?
We'll talk about it when we come back. Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.